Since 2007 and over 200 episodes, the Webcomic Beacon has been a near-weekly podcast by and for novice, amateur, and hobbyist web cartoonists.
We've got a fun and casual atmosphere with topical discussions, complete with fun and interesting special guests, not to mention those wacky hosts.
So head on over to the webcomicbeacon.com for live broadcasts, webcomic discussions, antics, advice sharing, and more ball dropping than your local morning radio show.
www.webcomicbeacon.com.
News and commentary on the Webcomic Beacon newscast.
Welcome one and all to the Webcomic Beacon newscast. This is episode number 32.
Sorry.
Oh, we're off to a great start.
Episode 1. You know,
yes.
Welcome. 132.
So, no, I was going to say 1,003,020, actually. Anyway, welcome to the Webcomic Beacon newscast. Number 32 is the newscast for August 7th, 2011. What's sad is I actually had August 7 RD, so it was servered, because I didn't switch it over from the last time. Anyway, you can find this and all of our episodes and all the stories we're about to cover at newscast.webcomicbeacon.com if you want to follow along with the stories that we're talking about. Quick hello to those of you in the chat room. Thanks for joining us today. And also a quick hello to all of us here on the show. My name is Roscott. I do a little comic called The System, which can be found at systemcomic.com. Also joining us today, as always, is the amazing and lovely and somewhat sleepy Alex of Alex's Guide, which can be found at alexsguide.net. Hi, Alex.
Hi, good morning, everyone.
How are you feeling?
Tired.
Poor girl. We woke her up for the show.
I'm supposed to go to this Irish festival today, so I tried to take a nap in between getting home from work and now, which ran over a little bit.
It happens. This is why I'm glad I have your phone number sometimes.
Yeah.
Sometimes you need to text your friend and say, you're supposed to be on the show right now. But I did say good morning, so, you know, trying to be nice about it.
It was gentle, yes.
Yes, I was trying for gentle, not where are you? Yes, also with us today is Samantha Kyle of her wonderful blog, samanthakyle.tumblr.com, and formerly Random Assembly, which I know we've talked about here on the show and previous weeks. Hey, Samantha, how you doing?
Hey, man, what's up? Oh. I've just been given my cup of coffee, so I'm doing excellent.
I was about to ask you about your cup of coffee, so that's good to know.
Yes.
Where do you get your coffee from? Is it particularly good?
Well, I have this amazing machine in my house called my husband, who makes coffee all the time.
Oh, it's great. Man, I always wanted one of those. Not so much a husband as an automatic maker. But hey, if it can also draw awesome comics, you know, all the better, right?
He's actually drawing comics right now.
Wow. Right. This is actually serious business. That's
awesome. He's a machine. That's all he does. It's amazing.
Yes. Coffee goes in, comics come out?
Yes.
Nice.
I don't know where the pee goes.
I don't want to know.
It was in the toilet, you guys.
God. All right. Also in the background and recording the episode and making everything happen behind the scenes is the innumerable Fess of PSIwebcomic.com, the man making everything happen around here.
Pull the strings. Pull the strings.
Yes, pulling all of the strings. And
hey, Bon.
And laughing like Eddie Murphy for some reason.
Oh, I was going for Fred Flintstone.
Oh, yeah, I get that. Okay, I totally get that.
Does Fred Flintstone have a laugh?
Does who have a laugh?
Does Fred Flintstone have a laugh?
See, I think Eddie Murphy's really emulating slow. Fred Flintstone's laugh.
There is a connection there. No, I'm with you. I do see a connection there.
Fred's laugh was really slow, and it kind of... Yes.
Actually, that's pretty accurate.
Yes,
that just kind of sounds like close. This is normal laugh, though.
Yeah, I just recently watched Beverly Hills Cop, so I think it was on the brain.
Awesome! I need to add that to my Netflix. I'll be right back.
Clearly. All right, so here on the show, as you can tell, we try and take a professional and serious look at the latest in webcomic news and related ephemera that relates to webcomics as best we can. And if you ever find any stories that you would like us to discuss here on the show, be sure to send them over to webcomicbeacon@gmail.com, or you can leave a voicemail on our new voicemail line and tell us what you think of things at 1-320-310-0922. All right, and with that, we will start churning through all the stories that have been uncovered through the last week. All the stories this week have been compiled by our own Eric of Draumos. I lost his link. There it is. EXIERN.com. Exern is his comic, as it is known. All right. And with that, we proceed into the stories as soon as I find the Google Doc. There it is. Okay, so first up, we have a lot of over at thecomicbooks.com/audio.html. We have a lot of audio recordings of panels that have been taken from San Diego Comic-Con, TCAF, and other festivals. So for those of you that are always looking for more information, I do suggest checking those out. Unless any of us have gotten a chance to listen to them, I know I haven't. Though I do think that there is some good stuff in there, and I would love to see more stuff from these conventions make their way online, so hopefully they will in the future. But there's some great indie comic marketing stuff in there, as well as some comic culture. So a lot of stuff that we talk about. Also a note, and brief, Greg Dean of The Amazing Real Life Comics, one of the more established webcomics out there, he and his wife Liz, who's featured in the comic almost daily, just finally had their baby after seems like a 9-month story arc.
Seems funny how that works.
Yeah. Well, because he features pretty much what's happening in his life in the comic all the time. So, you know, the baby's practically been a character.
Yeah.
Are any of you guys readers of Real Life? Have you ever found it? It was the third comic I ever read on the internet. First being Sluggy Freelance, then Mayberry Melonpool, which sent me to Sinfest, which somehow I got from there to Real Life Comics. I have no idea how.
You know, I've been aware of Real Life Comics and that it existed for the last 10 years, but I have never actually read it.
I remember when I first found it thinking, my God, how could anyone do a comic in Illustrator? That seems so infuriating. And now it's the life I lead.
How can anyone do anything in Illustrator? It's just a big beast.
It is quite the beast. But the nice thing is you only have to draw something one way once. I drew a couch once.
I'm getting mean sounds from over in the corner. We use Illustrator a lot.
Fair enough. All right. Also featured somewhat in brief. So Peanuts, of course, Charlie Brown fame, is now owned by a company called Iconics Brand Group. And they've decided to start pushing the Peanuts worldwide more out there to the world. They're working on, I can't wait for this, mobile gaming, ebooks, digital apps, downloadable graphic novels, social media, and Facebook applications.
Downloadable social media?
So, wait, they don't think that people aren't aware enough of Peanuts?
Well, they're trying to expand into new formats with more to come in 2012 and beyond, according to this article on MarketWatch. Which pretty much, now, one thing of note, we've mentioned Iconics Brand Group before. Those of you who remember the short-lived Pina Twitter that we discussed, there was a Tumblr where they took Twitter accounts and took funny tweets and then put them as the dialogue for Peanuts comics, which was taken down because of a takedown notice by, wait for it, Iconics Brand Group. So basically, the group that now owns Peanuts, who shut down fun things on the internet, is now, for whatever reason, deciding to expand into all these new formats.
Into fun things on the internet.
Into, well, who knows if they're going to be fun things. I'm wondering what mobile apps and games, what games does Snoopy need? Is it going to be like Angry Birds with Woodstock?
Yeah, with the Red Baron.
Okay, I would totally play the hell out of a Red Baron game.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You could have kind of a Guitar Hero thing with the Schroeder on the piano, but a Piano Hero, I suppose.
Oh, all right.
Learn how to play the Peanuts song.
Mm-hmm. They're also selling Peanut strips for purchase through iTunes, according to this article. Should be a little interesting.
Hmm.
Yeah, I didn't know they did that. Well, never tried or cared to, but you know, what are you going to do? Yeah, so those of you out there that are big Peanuts fans, be aware, when you support Peanuts, you support Iconics Brand Group, which is kind of my way of saying, well, I think that's obvious enough. Anyway, so here's a question for you guys. Do you think that Peanuts, which is so entangled with Charles Schulz, should be doing this stuff anymore? Or should it be allowed to kind of go its merry way? I mean, this is clearly not something that Charles Schulz had envisioned. You know, he wrote comics, and then he made some sweet short animations and things. But you know, should properties like this go on and try and string themselves out this long?
Oh, dang! Well. I don't know how it is on the East Coast, but here in the Midwest, we got Peanuts and Garfield all over the place. They're just everywhere. And I don't even think about, is it ever going to end? Because it's not. I mean, It's still running in the paper. And I know the papers are dying or, you know, whatever right. anybody wants to call it. They're just slowly withering away like a snowman in the summer. But it's just always going to be there.
Right.
It's not going anywhere. I mean, you can expand it into the newer medias, but really the people that want to read it grew up while it was still going, like, live.
And, okay. Right. So, 80 years from now, are we going to see Dr. McNinja still going on its eighth author and writer, no longer associated with the people that created it?
Oh, goodness, I don't know. I'd be sad if anyone but Chris Hastings was writing that.
Yeah, me too. Maybe his dog will become sentient and start writing it at some point. We don't know.
The commissioner could take over, yes.
I feel like the concept of legacy strips like that, like Blondie and Garfield, and now Peanuts, are probably going to die off in this coming generation.
Uh-huh.
So, I don't know.
So in 80 years, we might have a whole Indiana Jones thing going on where some guy's got a tome of Peanuts and yelling, it belongs in a museum!
Yeah.
Yeah, we'll see what happens. I'm curious about the next generation. I mean, you know, what's going to happen to dinosaur comics? Will we ever see dinosaur comics written by, you know, the son of... Why am I blanking on that poor man? That lovely man's name. Yes, Ryan North. Will we ever see, you know, Ryan North's son writing dinosaur comics, or, you know, some of these webcomics properties sold off? Mm. Only time will tell, I suppose. If you have any opinions on this. Yeah, we don't know. No, I was just going to transition. It's a little thing I do. if you have any opinions on this kind of stuff, be sure to let us know over in today's newscast post, which can be found over at our website, newscast.webcomicbeacon.com. All right, next up we have an article about The Seven Seas, which is a manga comic imprint. This article, via Robot6, by the way, has now set up a proper webcomic site that is a web, very traditional, quote-unquote, in its webcomicness. It is free comics, posted, not Flash, with run by ads that kind of surround it, so pretty much exactly in the template of webcomic sites done by independent creators. Only this one just happens to be run by Zoom Comics, it looks like. Now, this is one of the few times that we've seen, though we're starting to see it more, that comics industry people out there are actually using the kind of webcomic sites that independent artists like ourselves have been using for a long time. So are they infringing on what we do, or is that just cool to see that we were right and they're catching on?
So this is hosting?
Ooh. Yeah. So they formerly have done comics like Afro Samurai and Hayate X-Blade and Gunslinger Girl. And these have had like manga tie-ins before online, but this is the first time that it's like, no, this is a webcomic site. It updates like a webcomic site. It's got links and pages and ads around it like a webcomic. So it's not just
have a flash interface.
Right. So it's not just, yeah, oh, we set up a new slick thing for this one little thing. No, it's updating online in the webcomic sense. Yeah.
So it's not like in the realm of Keen Space where it's hosting for people to get up and put their comics.
It's not hosting. No, this is a publishing group putting out a comic of their own. So they're not like volunteering people or anything. They just, you know, are doing this entire comic in the specific webcomic format as opposed to their normal, oh, we've got some teasers and we sell books, or putting it in some other crazy format.
So it's in the webcomic format, and it had not prior been in book form?
Exactly.
I see.
Only in this format, yeah. Yeah. And from their publisher, it says, these days people want their content free and they want it fast. So, yeah, it sounds like they're finally starting to get it, which is, I guess, good and bad at the same time.
Yes.
good for them. Well, good for, you know, the readers, and bad for those of us that have to put up with them. All right. Quickly mentioned in brief, Amazon, there's an article on GigaOM about a free app that was offered on Amazon, an analysis that followed. Basically, Amazon offered this Pocket Caster Android app, which meant that it went from its normal download amounts of between 0 and 20 a day, and suddenly downloaded over 100,000. But the people behind the app say that it was not worth their time because it made them $0. Now, why is this a webcomic article? Well, this is a chance to kind of say, you know, how does the, hey, let's give it out for free and hope people buy things in the future work? And in a case where, well, it didn't really do them much good at all. And I gotta say, I've been able to relate to this lately, for those of you that saw the chart I posted on Wednesday, which you would think, you know, all that exposure would lead to lots of sales. And it led to a few, definitely, but did it lead to lots of sales? No. So the lesson to be learned here, if you can call it that, is exposure always worth the price you pay for giving things away? And in this case, for this app, it kind of wasn't. So have you guys ever tried to just completely expose yourself online?
That's inappropriate.
Not lately.
Oh, dude, don't set yourself up like that.
Oh, like I didn't know what I was saying.
That's a silly question.
Yep. You guys are being too quiet. I needed something.
I'm sorry.
No worries. All right, so if you have any thoughts on this, great. But otherwise, we'd keep going. Mostly it was just leading up to that joke.
Good planning, then. Good planning. Good setup.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. I try. Well, let me ask you guys, since we're on the topic of kind of getting your stuff out there, so the chart, let's talk about me. So the chart that I posted this week, so you're mad about something on the internet chart. Did you guys see it around online?
Okay. Yes, and it came in handy, actually.
Mm-hmm. Nice. Awesome. In fact, I was reading one of the other articles for the newscast today and thought of it, because it was absurd. yeah, it's been crazy to see how much it's spread. It's been on Laughing Squid and Chart Porn and has yielded the most views I've ever gotten in a day ever, which is really cool. Mm-hmm. For just to put a number with it, I got first day it went up 66,000 visits according to Google Analytics, which is ridiculous. Guess how many prints of the comic, which was in the link and everywhere it appeared. Guess how many prints I sold?
30.
5.
Oh. I was going to guess 5.
Ah, you should have guessed 5.
I was trying to be polite. I have no idea.
So to date, since then, I think it's gone up to about 10 total. But yes, so over 100,000 people see it. 10 people buy it, approximately.
Well, that's sort of that 10% rule that you always hear for webcomics. You know, only 10% of your readers will buy something in a given year. So,
that's a lot less than 10%, I hate to tell you.
I suppose.
That's 1%.
It's too early for math, Ross.
That is 1%. 1% of people actually buying something.
The number 10's still in there. It's fine.
Oh, it's fine. It's based on a 1.
It's a there's decimals and shit.
I really want an audio clip of Alex saying decibels and shit. That's my new favorite thing.
Everybody's got decibels and shit.
Awesome. Okay, well, let's skip over down to some business articles. we have featured today, Drunk Duck is, for those of you that are familiar with the webcomic hosting service, Drunk Duck is apparently no longer owned by Platinum, but by Wowio, which spun off from Platinum back in 2009. Do you guys read any comics or familiar with any comics that are still on Drunk Duck? Everyone I know has jumped ship.
I don't think I read any Drunk Duck comics on purpose.
I would like to add to this conversation since I had a mirror site on Drunk Duck.
Sure.
Well, I still technically do, but I have to say the interface, the new site is very clean. It's very good looking, and if you're
it's also not loading for me at all.
Well. And if you're doing just a regular old hobby comic and you need a spot, I'd still recommend The Duck as a place to go. If you're just doing something fun like that, I don't see myself using it as a mirror site anymore because you can't edit the HTML anymore, so I can't add my ads or other links basically. Though there's some things you can edit on there. It's a nice interface, but if you got another site, I don't really see the need to keep a mirror there anymore unless you have a decent amount of readers there. I've started to redirect my readers, and so that's basically... But there still are comics that I'll read on there. Like I said, there's some hobby comics on there, so I'm still reading that. And I thought they weren't a part of Platinum Studios for at least a year now.
Yeah, it's...
Because we had
spun off for a little while.
We had School Monkey and Black Kitty on this show.
That was a while ago, but it follows up with the next bit, which is that Platinum, we're not because of the split off. Platinum owes a lot of money to a lot of people, which has been making its way around, and we're not sure how much of that money that's owed necessarily is ever going to get paid up, especially considering that they just had their new movie Cowboys and Aliens come out, which tied with Smurfs, which is, I guess, kind of sad, considering how many big names were in Cowboys and Aliens.
Well, Smurfs had Neil Patrick Harris.
Yeah, I can't believe he did that. Come on, Neil.
It's goofy. Really?
I know. Yeah. It's like my boyfriend is trying to sell NPH as a selling point to go see this movie, and I'm like, no.
You just know there's that lots, they... I mean, how many dump trucks full of money... Movies. How many dump trucks full of money did they have to back up to Neil Patrick Harris's house to be like, you know all this classy stuff you've been doing and how you've been pretty much rocking the universe. How about being in a Smurfs movie?
Oof. Maybe he had a really deep attachment to the Smurfs.
Yeah. All right. Anyway.
I prefer the dump trucks of money theory.
Okay, for those of you following along on the Google Doc, we're going to flip the next two. So there's an article over on Boston.com, the Boston Globe site, all about, it's called See You in the Funny Pages, or maybe not. Some comic strip creators are finding enough success on their own websites, which sounds like it could have been written in, I don't know, anywhere in the last 10 to 15 years. But it features a lot of prominent webcomic artists like Jeff Jocks and, let's see, who else is in here? Casey Green, Richard Stevens, Jeffrey Rowland, who runs Topotico and writes Wigu. Randall Mulholland and Mookie, our own Michael Terracciano. This is why he goes by Mookie, so I don't say that.
Terracciano.
Which is funny because the last time I saw this article, it had a photo of most of those guys all standing together, and now they got rid of that photo and replaced it with just a little, I don't know, what I would call a B-roll photo of just like over someone's shoulder looking at comics. But whatever, it goes through some interesting kind of tidbits. Whenever you see an article like this, it seems to be like 90% the same thing we've all heard before. But they do cover some interesting tidbits, like the fact that Jeff Jocks is pulling in over $100,000.
Dude, like, would be living like a king if he was in Indiana. Seriously.
He's living in Northampton, Connecticut. So, I mean, wait, is that Connecticut? Or is it
Massachusetts.
But, I mean, so it's not like cost of living is that high. Like, I bet I pay more for my under 300 square foot apartment, also known as HilaraAwesome.com headquarters, than he does for like a two bedroom house.
Ooh.
You know. But they go through and kind of talk about some interesting tidbits. Did you guys? I saw this article around a bit. Did you guys see it around?
Yeah.
What were some interesting tidbits that you saw in the article?
Well, mostly I was just blown away that he was making six figures.
Yeah.
It's not that the cost of living on the East Coast is so high. It's that the cost of living over here is so low.
Sure.
I just couldn't get over it. And I kept wondering, what on earth is he doing to get that? I mean, I know he's selling t-shirts and...
Well, he's been at it for 8 years.
Yeah, 8 years. It's going to go for a while. And he's... How long has he been doing this full time?
He went full time after like 2 years.
It is in the article a little bit about kind of when he made the transition. I'm pretty sure that was him that... They discussed that in the article. They also go into some interesting tidbits, like how Randy Mulholland is making a little over $50,000 a year. And they go into how many people check a lot of sites every day, how Mookie's got around $50,000 a day, and Jocks has about $400,000 a day. And then they... Mulholland's making about 35% of his income from ads, and says he's getting about 215,000 viewers a day. These all just make me feel sad, because I just said my biggest day ever was 66,000. That was
I'm going back one. To bed now.
Oh, no, yeah. Stay with us.
But, I mean, it is, first of all, so I think amongst us webcomic people, there is a conversation that everyone kind of wants to have but doesn't want to have about how many people are reading your site. That comes up, but no one wants to say it. No one wants to ask. But everyone's kind of curious because you see a comic out there, and it's hard to tell when you just go to someone else's site how many people they have on their site. And you do think with some of these bigger names that have enough fans to support themselves, how many fans is it that it takes to support yourself? I think that's a common question. And so it is interesting to see some actual numbers related to this in terms of page views and, money made and all that stuff. So I got to say, I think it's interesting to hear. I call that generally the whip it out and measure conversation. It's pretty much what you're doing. But, I mean, it's kind of like talking about how much you make, right? I mean, obviously some of it is literally talking about how much you make. But I think it's also, you know, talking about how many fans you have is kind of the, how famous are you kind of discussion, you know?
Mm-hmm. The real trick is figuring out how to tell people this information without coming across as a huge douchebag.
Right. Well, I kind of felt like a huge douchebag mentioning how many I got off that chart. I kind of did. I think it's interesting because, you know, you see something like that happen, you think, what does that mean for that person? You know, what does that mean in practice? Which is why we covered that tech article, because I want to know what happens when that happens. Like, how many of those people stick around? You know, how many people subscribe out of all that? You know, all that kind of stuff. I find that really interesting. I mean, that's why we have this podcast, you know? But it does sound kind of douchey whenever you bring up this kind of stuff. Because you're trying to share secrets, and we all do that to try and help each other out. But yeah, it can sound kind of, yeah, I get it. Because if they say a number bigger than you, then you're always like, oh, that asshole. But if they say a number smaller than you, then you feel all cool. You know, there's a bit of that.
I always get real excited when one of the bronies picks up on one of my comics, and I get like a spike up to like 2,000 uniques in one day.
Well, okay, so
I'm still at that point.
So when that happens, though, how many of those stick around?
It's usually back. Well, this summer has been, you know, it's always a little bit slower than it was during the rest of the year. So it's usually around 400 uniques a day, without any pimping by me on like Reddit or anything. But
yeah.
if I post a pony comic on, you know, reddit.com/mylittlepony, then I will get a spike from that and stuff like that.
Sure. And Samantha, mm-hmm. Yeah, go ahead.
Oh, I try not to look at any numbers because then I become severely depressed. simply because, what was it, a while ago, the whole strong females thing was going on and I decided to draw a thing. And it just, I went to bed, and I woke up and it was like the most internet famous I'd ever been.
Yeah.
And you know, that kind of shit, when you're not really internet big in any way, kind of goes to your head and you're like, oh my God, this is it's like an aphrodisiac. This is fabulous.
I
just love everything. And then it drops away and you get these shakes and you're
Drawn. Oh, so. Exactly. I would totally describe it as a drug. And that you slowly become immune to. I mean, there was when I started the system, it had literally zero fans, you know, because I started from scratch. And my previous comics, there wasn't anyone coming over from that. Then I got to around 100 fans, well, 100 viewers. I don't know fans. That's the wrong term. You know, just from, you know, LiveJournal and stuff like that. And then I hit 200, and it was like, suddenly the day where I was so proud of 100, I wasn't proud of it anymore. I was proud of 200, and 100 didn't matter. 100 was like, oh, it's back to 100. And I was super proud of 100, you know? And then I hit, and then you hit like 500, and the same thing happens where like 200 doesn't matter anymore. That I've done that. It's like, oh, 200. Mm-hmm. Wow.
I remember the first time I hit 12 readers. It was awesome.
Yeah, it's a great feeling, that first sense. I mean, it really is. But then the minute it goes up, the minute it goes back down, you feel like, oh, it's gone. Where did you go, readers?
You turn into Eeyore.
Now imagine that feeling and also being paid to get that feeling. You'd be like Scarface at that point, just sitting with a mountain of
coke.
Your web cred, and you just sit on your table freaking out.
Yeah.
I can see that.
We
can totally see that.
We got to go to break, actually.
Oh, we got to take a break. Okay.
But before we go to break, I do want to mention something. Since this is somewhat relevant, the Webcast Beacon Network, last I checked the Google Analytics, we get at least over 7,500 impressions a month. And amongst all four of our programming, we have on average 150 podcast downloads a day, complete from the archive and the new releases. And if you'd like to get in on this and advertise on the site and help us out, you can go to webcastbeacon.com/advertise for more information.
Yes, and you really should, and join your friends. But this is actually, one quick thing and then we'll take a break, I promise. This is what I love about conventions, because you see numbers and numbers start to not mean anything, like 100 versus 200 and all that stuff. But then you go to a convention and you meet three people And those three people come up and say they're reading, and you suddenly realize that each of those numbers is one of these people that come up to you at a convention. And that is awesome. That is when I feel like doing it again.
Yeah.
Yes. I just want to end on that note instead of I'm a douchebag for sharing my...
We'd forgotten until you brought it up again, so...
Yeah.
Make us forget again.
Yeah, well, if...
Anyway, okay, break!
I'm going to make this as public as I can here. If anyone wants to, like, see and analyze site stats with me, I would be up for that discussion. Not to be a jerk, not to, like, gloat or anything. I think it's really interesting to see how my site compares to other sites, and I've done this. I know it's a weird conversation, but if anyone wants that info or wants to talk about that stuff, please get in touch with me. I would be happy to do so. And if it's interesting, maybe we'll make a podcast out of it.
Yeah. Totally.
Just let me know. I'm on Twitter as @ROSSCOTT, Roscott, or you can email us at webcomicbeacon@gmail.com, or leave a comment on the news post over at newscast.webcomicbeacon.com. Awesome. And with that, we shall take a break. And so we will see you right after you listen to whatever message comes up after I stop talking.
Like animation? Come listen to Animation Aficionados.
And if you disagree with us, you could be a guest on a future show.
Available on iTunes, the Zune Market, and animationaficionados.com.
This program is a part of the Webcast Beacon Network and is hosted on the Rampage Network. Follow us on Twitter at Webcomic Beacon. Email us at webcomicbeacon@gmail.com or leave us a voicemail by calling 1-320-310-0922. The Webcast Beacon Network, covering and promoting creativity and the creative process since 2007. Webcomics, comic news, tropes, and web fiction at webcastbeacon.com. Now, back to our show.
I have to use get a restroom break. I'll be right back.
All right. We got about more coffee.
No.
We got about 20 minutes left.
Awesome. Okay.
About-ish.
Well,
about-ish.
Honestly, that article was the neediest thing.
Gotcha.
So while Sam's getting her coffee, I'm going to jump on the mic.
Yeah, Haley.
Hey, how's it going, Ross?
Good. How's things?
Things are good.
So what is it that you do?
Huh? Oh, right now the artist on Little Guardians.
Yeah, he was on a few weeks ago.
Oh.
Yeah. See, here's the part that I should probably mention. So Lee, because it'll be less awkward if I say it than if Lee says it about himself, is Lee and Samantha both do comics and are married, and they're both awesome.
Whee!
I'm a little jealous sometimes.
No, Ross, the amazing part that you didn't mention is that Sam and I met while doing comics, and we're in a comic collective.
That is so awesome!
And which grew into dating and then getting married.
Yeah, I saw your face and I demanded that you be mine, pretty much.
You will be mine.
You guys are so
nerdy. Offense, Lee, but you're kind of a sexy bitch, so, you know...
Wow. So right
no
before
offense.
The
no
right before, like, I know you guys are taking a little break. I just wanted to jump in because I had something to add earlier, but I wasn't officially on the podcast, so I didn't want to say anything. But the whole numbers and who makes what and all that kind of thing. What stuck with me was a while ago, Ryan Estrada shared his numbers on Twitter. I don't know if you guys saw that.
I didn't, but I'd be really interested to see what that man gets.
Well. It surprised me because of how low they were. Like, uh-huh. I don't know. Like,
we had him on the show last week.
He lives in various places around the world. Occasionally, he's living in India for a while. Now he's in South America for a while. And I think, you know, he makes enough to get by. That's fine. What kills me is that the amount of things that man has done with his life, as in, like, mm-hmm. traveling and adventures that he does. If you ever see his adventure podcast.
Yeah, they're amazing.
He does it on less than half of what I make in my stupid graphic designer day job that I hate.
Right. Well, see, that's the thing, and that's where the whole, like, being full-time thing is really weird, because what people say is being full-time is so all over the place.
Mm-hmm.
like, and oh, I do this full time. Yeah, but you live in your parents' basement, or you live in a house that, that you didn't pay for, or, you know, whatever. And
yeah, no, but for a while he had, like, beachfront property, like, on, like, this cool little hut.
Oh,
you know?
Yeah, where he was animating. but that was, like, in the most remote place ever.
Yeah.
We had Ryan Estrada on the show last week, and he talked about this. It's because his website, where, you know, people go, he was doing so many different things that it was just kind of muddled, and then he went off of the webcomic update model. And just, you know, if you go to his site right now, you just see all of his completed works. He's been selling himself to do other things. Like, he's been selling himself to do custom comics or artwork or something like that, and that's where he makes his money. It's like, it's not really the stats, because you can't really compare the stats, really, because he's not, he doesn't have a traditional webcomic model right now. He just,
and without the stats, without needing, he doesn't need the stats, because
not
he
anymore,
needs,
no.
He needs commissions.
Right.
And commissions are this, like, behind-the-scenes thing for most creators.
Oh, yeah.
Because that shit doesn't really get posted or talked about.
And well, then when Google Plus launched and Ryan Estrada was all over it, and I was just like, Ryan Estrada, he's just blowing my mind right now.
Seriously.
That man is such a bit. And then he did Ryan Estrada Day, where he was in like 70. He posted like 70.
I remember that.
I do remember that.
Oh, yeah,
God.
I was surprised you guys didn't talk about that.
Oh, I totally forgot about that. But that would be an interesting marketing technique.
When I knew that the system was like growing, was I emailed him about that, and he said, "Yeah, I meant to do one for you." And I was like, "Oh, I even maybe kind of." He said a nice thing that maybe I could read into. It was like so awesome. I love Ryan Estrada. He's amazing.
All right. So thanks for letting me share my little piece. I'm handing the microphone back to Sam now.
Thanks, Lee.
Not physically. It's sitting.
I was gonna say, Sam didn't say that you had a little piece.
Oh. By the way, Sam, I think you and I need to start a book club, because I've been meaning to read The Learners for forever.
It's amazing. Oh my god.
Yeah, but I've met Chip Kidd. Did I tell you that?
Mm-hmm.
I totally did.
That man.
That man.
Anyway, newscast.
No.
Sorry. Okay.
Are we back?
Bastard. Okay.
Oh, we've been back. I've been I'm keeping all of what we just
talked
about.
Oh, really? Oh,
yeah.
God.
Oh, shit.
Crap.
Are you just going to add to your list
the
of
break is a lie.
No, there was a lot of good content there, and I'm glad I
there
recorded.
I
like what you did there.
Yeah. Always keep recording. A-A-R. Okay. So, with that discussion, are you going to keep it right there? Should I, like,
then
keep going as though?
Just keep going, man.
Alrighty. Okay. So, that was our article on the business of webcomics. Along with that, Sean Kleefeld of Kleefeld on Comics did an article about how he thinks that the webcomicer model is going to be growing as we enter into kind of a new business world, discussing how people might be making their money off of doing more of their own thing and the freelance thing, and how freelancers are becoming more and more common. Right. So this is from the article, "We All Need to Follow the Webcomic Example," which is over at kleefeld.comics.blogspot.com. And you can find the link over on our website. Anyway, so he's talking about, there it is. Let's start with the ideal situation. You do some work you pretty much enjoy every day. You throw that online for free. People visit and enjoy your work up to varying degrees. People who really enjoy it buy material related to that because they're primarily made via print on demand. You can effectively keep everything in stock indefinitely. That's not true. It's really hard. Anyway, as your output continues, then you still get a decent income, even when you don't have a new book out, because you've got enough of a backlog of material that you've always got buying your old stuff. That is an extremely short version of what's called the long tail, and he thinks people should be following that example. So do you guys what do you guys think? This, I'll say it, this idea I completely disagree with. I think no one else should use this model. It's an absolutely horrible model.
There's only so many things you can sell that will work with this model. I mean, you can't do everything with this. Just because you put a store up on the internet doesn't guarantee people are going to go, "Oh, a store. I'll buy things from this store." So you know.
Totally true.
Store.alexheberling.com.
Oh, it's .com? It's not .net? Okay. Anyway.
AlexHeberling.com. Yeah, that's where my store is. Gotcha.
Anyway, yeah, I completely disagree with this. If I had to work that way with, like, graphic design, I would shoot myself in the face. Do you know?
Oh.
I mean, artists. Okay, maybe artists could that would be a better way to put it, could link to this example. See, when I think of the webcomic model, I don't think of it in these terms, but okay, that's just me. Anyway, what do you guys think of people shifting to this idea with the economy and things? Because that's the reference.
It's really rather silly.
It's a silly
idea. Yes.
Why is that?
I don't think it would work for anyone else. I mean, it's a lot of work to make it work the way it is now. I mean, it's not easy in any aspect.
Right.
Doing any kind of working for yourself isn't easy in any aspect with no boss and no, what's it called, paycheck.
Right.
It's really hard.
Mm-hmm.
This dude's making it sound like, oh, hey, that's not difficult at all. You can see it's way easy. Ner-ner-ner. No, it's not.
Yeah, well, I mean, and that Boston article that we were talking about mentions how many webcomics are theoretically out there, which is they list about 36,000. I honestly wouldn't surprise me. Yeah, well, you know, it's hard to say because one stopped updating or it's kind of a comic or whatever. So it's kind of hard to judge exactly. But 36,000 is a number I've heard before. I've heard bigger and smaller numbers. And of those, Wikipedia counts only 47 professional, quote-unquote professional webcomic artists. and let's be really generous and triple that number. 150 webcomic artists that are, quote-unquote, professional. Like, that is their day job. Okay, so we take 36,000 and then divide it by 150. And what do we have? 150 and divide it by 36,000. It's early and on a Sunday. And that is... Alex, you're the math person here.
That would involve opening calculator.
Yeah, that is, if I'm doing this right, this is 0.4% of comic artists that are quote-unquote successful doing it. I mean, not everyone's shooting for that goal, right? But... Yeah.
Yeah, nobody's shooting to be successful. I mean,
No. But there are a lot of webcomic people out there that I've met that have said, you know what? It would be great if this was my full-time job, but it's not. And I am totally okay with that.
Just a lot how are you measuring success?
I don't know.
How are you measuring your face?
Drifter.
Oh, goodness.
Oh, look, Joyce. Anyway, so it's an interesting thing to think about, I guess. So with that, we'll move on because we got plenty more stories. Actually, unless you guys have more you want to say on the topic of this.
Please buy some buttons for me.
Really? Just buttons? Why not books?
Well, with books, they have to go to other places other than my store because I try to keep my personal stock for conventions.
I'll tell you what. Do you do the commissions for the ponies on your site?
Not yet, but...
You need to.
I'm going to be doing that on DeviantArt, I think.
You need to do that as soon as possible and provide a link. Because Alex at conventions does commissions of drawing people as My Little Pony ponies. Custom cutie marks and all.
Awesome.
And they're spectacular, and they should be making you all the monies. So you should, yeah. Okay, anyway, we'll move on. So... We are running out of time, so let's see which one we feel like talking about. Fess, which one were you saying we should jump to? I'm just going to ask you flat out.
Well,
surreptitious. What's that?
Surreptitious. I did want to quickly mention that Jenny Everywhere Day is August 13th, so that's 7 days from now if you're listening to this live. It'll be its 10th anniversary. This is the open source comic heroine, basically. And so if you want to do some art, you got a short story or something like that, you should check out JennyEverywhereDay.com and email submissions to Benj@JennyEverywhereDay.com. Also, the Wagon Webcomic Battle trading card game has a Kickstarter, and they really, really need your help.
to go to their version 2 card update. The Webcomic Beacon actually has a specialized card, which was part of a contest that Alex Heberling won first place for. So we have a special promo card.
Fess.
Yes.
The Wagon Webcomic battle cards all are written in Comic Sans.
What?
I don't think that's Fess's fault.
That's not my fault. I don't think it's Comic Sans.
I know it's
Sans.
Not your fault, gosh, but they what are. The hell, man?
I think it's ironic.
Oh.
I don't think it is. The letters are too close together.
Oh.
No, that's Comic Sans, dude.
I don't know. Well, then we got to take it up with them, but
warped Comic Sans.
Aside from that, it's a very fun game.
Them so they can afford a graphic designer to switch everything from Comic Sans.
Well, they might
they
be with version 2
on Kickstarter.
We'll have to yell at Mike, who's on the show occasionally.
All right, Fess, I'm sorry to interrupt. You can by all means finish.
Anyway, we also had I did want to mention this quick. We also had a commenter recently. This folds into one of the other topics. Ratfist ends after 150 pages. Freak Angels ends after 144 pages. Now, the creators of these comics are known. They're known peoples.
Warren Ellis and the creator of Earthworm Jim.
Yep.
Tin April. Yeah.
And while the pacing of Ratfist may be questionable, but it certainly would be. Yeah, I could see the guy that does Earthworm Jim that doing this thing, given the past. But a commenter asked, "What if we had a Webcomic Beacon episode that talked about how to steps to properly end your comic or things not to do to end your comic?" Because he commented on our "How Not to Make a Webcomic," which was a 2-part podcast a long time ago. And that is certainly something that we can re-approach again and do a topic on, as well as we're also looking for, in addition to people interested in a show like this, we're also looking for people that have going on hiatus and coming off of hiatus stories, both of them, not just you went on hiatus and that was it. Well, I want to hear comeback stories on a future episode of the Webcomic Beacon, so email us at webcomicbeacon@gmail.com if you have some interest. Oh, I also wanted to go over some of our, the DeviantArt tutorials. We got a few more this week for people to check out. I can't pronounce half of these. There's one on line art by Fionako Naja something. A tutorial on cleaning one's line art by Red Priest Usada. Painting eyes by Neuro749. There's a tutorial about being underwater by Frostbow. There's anime coloring by Baka Uji, and shading styles by Tamborella. And that's about the quick stuff I wanted to mention.
Alrighty. And we're always looking for webcomic artists and people to be on the show as guests here on the newscast. So if you're interested in being a guest, please let me know either via Twitter at Rosscott, R-O-S-S-C-O-T-T, or email us at webcomicbeacon@gmail.com. You can get in touch with me pretty much anywhere you find me over at the system. That'd be fine too. My email's on there, systemcomic@gmail.com. Just put a subject line, newscast guest. Let's go with that. So if you can follow those simple directions, you too can be on the show. We would love to have you. Be sure to let us know what your current project is and why you want to be on the show in however many words you think that takes. Okay, I'm glad we covered that because that's always good. We're going to mention in brief that the DC Comics and Women debate is continuing on boldly as DC Comics has made announcements about that they really do care, and then releasing an image of Zatanna in a bikini.
Those pants.
That was clever.
Not those pants.
Yeah, I didn't know that keeping your pants just below your underwear was a look outside of like 1997.
To be fair, I have seen pants like that before, but they were on a stripper.
Or accidental.
Or in Final Fantasy X2.
Right. And Jeff Jocks has offered some great rebuttals on Tumblr. We'll link to
I like
those.
The little robot they're funny. Dance.
Yeah, always good. And also, while it's much later in the Google Doc, for those of us on the show, there is along with that, celasquid.tumblr.com posted a great bunch of people, male characters in Wonder Woman style outfits and poses, which was pretty funny. And also, people at San Diego Comic Con dressed as a gender bent Justice League, so all the males as females and all the females as males, and they're really awesome.
Yeah, it was a really great picture.
Yes, so totally go and check those out if you have a minute. Do you guys want to say anything about the women in comics debate? I feel like we've covered it a lot, but hey, by all means, more power to you, ladies.
As far as DC goes, dude, unless you're married to the characters, why just go support some other comics, some other creators? And if you really want to see superheroes like that, start a new thing that has a bit more respect towards, you know, all people, you know? Right. But not just, oh, all women, only women. That's just the opposite of the problem. You know, just there's plenty of good shit out there. You just got to go find it and support
totally
that good shit rather than stuff that's making you cranky.
Such as systemcomic.com.
Yes.
Just saying.
I'm surprised you hadn't covered the coffee booze before.
The coffee booze. Wait, the coffee booze?
It's
what's
delicious?
The coffee booze? Oh, putting booze in coffee? Oh, yeah, that was recent that I covered that. Yeah. Oh, man. I mean, coffee is like a license to like have readers. If you put coffee in comics, people will come. Because everyone always goes like, oh, I drink coffee too. Yay, we can relate now. Which is really funny. That's like doing... I wonder if anyone's ever done
I
that with
breathe
pizza.
Too.
I wonder
coffee,
if anyone's done that with like,
cats, really.
Has anyone ever done that with pizza? Been like, man, pizza's really good, right? Oh, man, I eat pizza. These
pizza's
just
amazing.
Like me. Pizza's amazing.
Pizza's radical.
It's totally rad. Oh, awesome. Oh, also mentioned, since we were talking about Kickstarters, our own former webcomic Beacon newscast guest, Dern of Hello with Cheese, has a Kickstarter up right now for a board game he's trying to make called Scurvy Dogs, which is looks. I've talked to him about it. I know it's got a lot going on with it. Here's the great thing about it: by supporting it, you can get artwork from webcomic people such as Lara D'Souza of Least I Could Do and Looking for Group, Jamie Noguchi of Yellow Peril, who's also been on the show, and his own artist of Hello with Cheese, Obsidian, who does commissioncomic.com and Hello with Cheese. So you can actually support the board game and get webcomic artwork, which is pretty cool. And the man is trying to raise $20,000 and has 30 days to go. And he's a quarter of the way there, so best of luck to him.
Huzzah.
All right, did we miss anything? I think we kind of covered them. Oh, we missed Archie Comics. Okay, mentioned in brief. Oh, joyous. So, who remembers what happened to the CEO at Archie Comics in the past? Alex, do you want to say it?
Penis.
Exactly. And that's that kind of fun is continuing over at Archie Comics. So hopefully. And now it's gotten to, I think, litigation as lawsuits are flying between the CEO, who is the target of a sexual harassment lawsuit, and is now kind of counter. Yeah, so that's all still going. Oh, you missed it. There was a fourth line. So it's penis. And then she is accused of saying, my balls hurt. And that she needed to, quote, adjust my balls because they are irritating me.
I gotta think this was taken out of context. In like
what
every
context?
Possible
way. What is the correct context?
Well, seriously, is that not how it goes in your office?
No, it's not.
What crazy no white place do you work in? That's exactly what it's like where I work.
Well, I'm a teacher these days. I work with students. And I don't yell at them all and say penis, 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 and then yell
maybe
my
you
balls.
Should.
That's because you'd get fired, fired, fired.
Right. I gotta say though, more power to her for being a strong female.
She's a strong female character.
She's totally a strong female character. Telling everyone her balls hurt. She sounds like she's written by a guy, though, is the problem.
Yeah.
I mean, talking about how much her balls hurt? Come on. Come on. I thought Archie Comics was better than this. Also, this isn't Archie Comics. This is what's going behind the scenes of
they are so
jugs.
Fucking repressed over there. They're repressed.
Because mostly the people that are the most age-friendly and the least offensive are completely filthy. Completely
yes.
filthy when they're away from that.
Total fact. Okay. Well, that's a great way to wrap up the show. Oh, and I wasn't going to mention this, but it was in the oddities section. So, Eric, I'm kind of glad you found this, even though it has nothing to do with webcomics at all, which is that William Shatner and Adam West were once in a pilot together for a TV show as a buddy comedy.
I need to see this immediately.
As Alexander the Great. Yeah. Oh, man. I can actually play it and the audio will play through. Is this a horrible idea, Fest? Tell me now.
This is a brilliant idea. I don't care what Fest says.
Watch for audio blowout.
You fool, Leander. That's no way to ride a horse.
It was unavoidable, my lord.
What happened? I had the feeling they were waiting for us in ambush.
That is Adam West playing second fiddle to William Shatner.
I need to watch this whole thing. This is great.
Oh my
I'll try God. To get a clip in there and splice it in so it sounds better.
Awesome. All right. Well, with that, we should start wrapping up the show. So thank you all so much for being on. Thank you to everyone in the chat room. I couldn't log into the chat room. Alex, do you want to call out some names of people that are watching along?
Yes, we have, let's see, KN, Dr. Prune Squalor, Marshmallow Kitty, and Psycho Meltdown, as well as three guests.
Four.
One of those is my mom. I know for a fact. So hi, my mom.
Hi, Ross, mom.
Yes, and
hey, Ross. Right.
Yeah. Okay. With that, it's time to wrap up the show. So thank you to all of our guests today. Thank you to Alex, of course. As always, you can find her stuff at store.alexheberling.com and also her comic at alexesguide.net. And you should read it because it's amazing.
I'm feeling much more awake now.
Awesome. You're ready to go to an Irish festival where you're probably going to be drinking?
Yeah, there's this mead tasting that I'm thinking about.
Ah, darn. Tough life. Thanks, Samantha, for being on. Your stuff can be found at samanthakyle.tumblr.com. Is there anything else that you'd like to pimp while we're here?
Can I pimp Little Guardians?
You can totally pimp Little Guardians.
My husband draws an amazing webcomic called Little Guardians at littleguardianscomic.com.
You should check it out, if only for the panel contest that he was running.
Oh, God, that was hilarious. I had so much fun with that.
So basically they like introduced this new baby in the plot, and people were switching out the last panel where they show the baby for various other things that would be funny to have, and they're really funny. Are those on the website or are those only on Tumblr?
Those have their own Tumblr. There's a link from the website, but the Tumblr is ournewchampion.tumblr.com. And you can still, if you really want to, you can throw in a few more of those because a cliffhanger ends on Monday, I believe.
Alrighty.
You get to find out what he was looking at. So
yeah, they're amazing.
Be funny after that.
My favorite was, I think, Hypnotoad.
Hypnotoad was amazing.
Yes. Anyway, okay, so I've been, Fest, thanks for being on the show and chiming in and making everything happen behind the scenes.
No problem.
And I've been Roscott of the system. I've given out my web address enough today, and I think if I give it out again, my head will explode. So go back and listen and find it in there somewhere. Thank you all so much for tuning in. Again, please send us stuff and participate. We want to turn this into as much of a community as we can. Webcomicbeacon@gmail.com or leave us a voicemail at 1-320-310-0922. And thank you all for tuning in. We will see you all next week. In the meantime, have a wonderful week, and peanut butter and jelly. See you all next time.